Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Whoa. I've a couple of weeks ago, you'll remember, I had to replace the microphone mid-service. So I've got the new microphone now, and it's terribly close to my mouth, which is going to distract me beyond all belief today. But it also means I may be much louder. So I guess I didn't warn the guys at the back about that. Good morning. It is good that we can come into the presence of our Lord this morning and offer him praise and thanksgiving for all of the good things that God has done for us. And we're grateful to welcome all those who are joining us on the live stream this morning. It is good to have you with us either this morning on October the 20th, 2024, or whenever you happen to find us on the live streams. The announcements were before you as you were gathering this morning, so I hope you had an opportunity to look at those and make note of events that are coming up that are of most importance to you. A couple of things just to note as we gather this morning. First, a thank you to everyone who was involved in the fall supper last night, either those who were busy in the kitchen all day long, and there were many who were busy in the kitchen all day long, or those who came to eat what the people were busy in the kitchen all day long doing. Both of you made a contribution to last night's success. So it was a wonderful event. I think everybody had a good time. There seemed to be nothing but smiles as people left the hall last evening. So thank you to everyone for your help with that. We're very pleased to have Bill Brown with us. You may be able to see Bill in the mirror. Bill's filling in for Minna. She's away for a couple of weeks. So we have Bill with us both this morning and next Sunday morning as well. And finally, for things that I want to draw to your attention, just a reminder that on November the 3rd this year, we will be celebrating All Saints Day, and as has kind of become our custom over the past several years, we take take a moment on All Saints Day to remember all those who have passed away since the preceding All Saints Day, so within the last year, both those who have had funeral services from our congregation, but we also remember loved ones in our extended church family. So if there are people in your life who have passed away in the last year that you wish to have included in the prayers on that day, if you would let me or Vina in the church office know, we'll make sure that those get included. As we enter worship this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his followers seek to walk in his light. Fans are full bore today. The candle's not going to last long. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning and say together the call to worship as it will appear before you on the screens. Sing joyful songs to God, our Savior.
Remember the Lord who set us free.
Blow the trumpet, sound the tambourine.
Remember the Lord, the God of life.
Let us pray. God of grace, we give you thanks that you have drawn us in on this day to offer our praise and thanksgiving. For you are the source and the sustainer of our lives, and we are joyful in your presence. As we enter into this time of worship, breathe into us the breath of the Holy Spirit as you did when you created us. Cleanse us of all those things that busy our minds and our hearts. All these things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our comfort and our peace. Amen. And as we come this morning in praise, we begin with hymn 466 in the book of praise. Praise the Lord with the sound of trumpet. Number 466, or as it appears before you on the screens.
Mm-hmm.
In our distress, we call to the Lord who rescues us. Whether we are drowning in sin or thirsty for salvation, God is ready to save. Rejoicing in God's grace, let us confess our sin as we say together the prayer as it appears before us on the screens. God of freedom, have mercy upon us. We enjoy idle pleasures and pursue lives of leisure, while others stoop to serve us and struggle to support themselves. We enact rules and regulations that benefit the wealthy at the expense of basic needs, human health and daily bread. Forgive us. Set us free to serve you and to seek the liberation of all. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, hear the promise of the Lord. I am the Holy One, your God, he says, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Like weary travelers in the wilderness, let us drink deeply from God's grace. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And once more, we turn in praise to number 441 in the Book of Praise, or the words as they appear before you on the screen. Can a little child like me, hymn 441. Please be seated. And I see some young people in the congregation, and if I could get them to come forward, we'll have a little bit of time together. Come on, Sue. A A new visitor. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Preston. How are you this morning? Good. And Janaya? Yeah? And I need to get some names.
Ainsley.
Willem. Willem. Good. Nice to see you both. I have to stay here or I walk out of the camera shot. You remember that, right? Who has something that they collect? Do you collect anything? Who collects something? What do you collect, Preston?
I collect rocks, and I also have a gratitude rock from my school.
Mm-hmm. You collect rocks? When my son, who's now bigger than me, but when he was in elementary school, he collected rocks too. Now, he looked for very special rocks. He looked for rocks that had fossils on them, like the imprint of shells. And you would be amazed how many imprints of shells he could find on little rocks that were this big that were in the playground of his school. And he would bring them all home in the pockets of his pants. You can ask his mother about that. So it's one that's really special. Yeah, that's good. And what about you, Janaya? What do you collect?
I collect rocks, too.
Yeah? Oh, very good.
It was like one that was kind of like my skin color, but it
tinted white. Mm-hmm. And do they sparkle? Do you have rocks that sparkle? Rocks have quartz. That's quartz that's in them and makes them sparkle. Ainsley, what do you collect?
Gems.
Gems. They sparkle, don't they? And Willem?
I have dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs. Of course. Everybody that size collects dinosaurs. When I was I'm like you guys. When I was a kid, I used to collect lots of things. Hockey cards, any hockey card, baseball card collectors. Okay. We had those. Stamp collectors in the audience. There we go, our philatelists. Coin collectors. Well, there you go. I was thinking, we're talking about treasure today. And just the other day, last Saturday, I was out running errands, and I got some treasure. I was really, really excited.
Money.
A coin, right? What kind of a coin? What is it, Janaya? A loony.
What's a loony?
It's a $1 coin, and Roy has a picture of it, so Roy will pop the coin up there on the screen for you. There it is. So, okay, I did not plan this. I did not look at this coin that closely to know that it was the Lucy Maud Montgomery. So I did not plan that. But you see, the reason that I was really excited, yes.
Is that on the screen? Is that the olden day one?
No, it's actually a picture of that coin. You just can't see.
But it's gold.
It's gold. Yeah, yeah. It's hard to take a picture of a shiny something and not have it turn white. So it's that one right up there. But the reason that I was really excited was not because of the face. It was because of the obverse. So if we can flip the coin over by the magic of television, it was the first of the King Charles coins that I've seen. So it went into my pocket special, and it went on my dresser when I got home, and it's going to go into a book so that I can keep it safe and mostly scratch-free. And if I don't handle it too much, it won't get all dull and boring. But it's like treasure, right? Something that we see and we value as being very important. And of course, one of the things that we reasoned we use that image, that comparison of treasure is that we believe, too, that when we come into church, that when we listen to the stories of Jesus and we learn about Jesus' love for us, that is something, too, that is of great value, greater value than even a dollar coin, and that it is something that we treasure in our lives. So I know you're going to go down for church school this morning, and you'll hear a story down there, and so you can listen to it, and hopefully you will treasure that story and remember it all your lives. Take care, and we'll see you all later. And for those of you who remain, don't worry. You will not be left out. You will hear stories from Scripture this morning that you can treasure too. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for your word speaking through Scripture, like a treasure in clay jars. Let us carry these words with us and live as vessels of your truth, proclaiming the good news of life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Our Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 15. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or your female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Excuse me. The responsive reading is Psalm 81, 1 to 10. Sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob.
Raise a song. Sound the tambourine. Sweet lyre with the harp.
Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon, at our festal day.
For it is a statute for Israel, an ordinance of God Jacob.
He made it a decree in Joseph when he went out over the land of Egypt. I hear a voice I had not known. In distress you called, and I rescued you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah and Selah.
Hear, O my people, while I am among you. O Israel, if you would but listen to me.
There shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god.
I am the Lord your God, who brought you up. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it.
The next reading is 2 Corinthians 4, 5 to 12. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as our slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is God who said, light will shine out of darkness. Who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ? But we have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying around in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. But just as we have the same spirit of faith, this is in accordance with Scripture. I believe, and so I spoke. So we believe and so we speak. Because we know that the one who raised The Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence.
Once more, let us sing to God's praise, hymn 590. We have this ministry, hymn 590, or the words will appear before you on the screen. Testament lesson for this morning our gospel lesson for this morning. I flipped to Micah briefly there and it just completely threw me off. Our New Testament gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 21. Let us listen for God's word to his people. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites. For they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by the Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Friends in Christ, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. This morning's a mint morning. There is an old joke you do know about preachers, right? Story of a preacher who every week preached faithfully 17-minute sermon. One Sunday morning, he stood up in the pulpit and he started to preach. 17 minutes came and went. 20 minutes came and went. 25, 30 minutes. He seemed to be going on forever. As he was shaking hands at the back of the church afterwards, somebody said, "Reverend, what happened? Why did you preach so long this morning?" And he said, "Every Sunday when I start the sermon, I put a mint in my mouth. And when the mint is done, it's time for me to stop preaching. This morning when I reached into my pocket, there was a button." Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaim in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How you doing this morning, Chuck? Good. Valerie? Doing good? Nick? Okay? Are you having a good day? It's a question you get asked often, isn't it? Have you ever thought about how much people equate their Christian faith with good fortune or a cheery disposition? A good day is an indicator of your belief. For centuries in the Reformed tradition, believers have gathered in God's presence on a Sunday morning to be greeted with words like this: "This is the day that the Lord has made. See, let us rejoice and be glad in it." Psalm 122 declares, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go up to the house of the Lord.'" Or Paul, in his exhortation to the church in Philippi, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." And indeed, you know, there's a whole branch of Christianity associated with folks like way back when, if you remember, Norman Vincent Peale, right? More modern, more recently, perhaps, Joel Osteen, who advanced the proposition that those who believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ will prosper, and that that prosperity will be a symbol of their faithfulness. There's a problem with that simple interpretation of Scripture, though, isn't there? The problem is, not every day is a good day. Every now and then, and I truly pray that for you it's just every now and then, but every now and then, you wake up in the morning, you slowly open one eye, and you just think, this is not going to be a good day. And you just want to roll over and pull the covers over your head and wait until tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow will be better. Or the alarm doesn't go off and you're rushing around the house trying to get out as quickly as you can, and you're in the bedroom getting dressed and you're hopping up and down on one leg and your foot goes through the end of your pantyhose. And you think, "Ah, not today." Didn't know that was that's what I did when I wake up. You hide a lot of things under this gown, just saying. on days like that, all of the messages of any sort of prosperity gospel or that God will make things easier for you if you just believe, well, they all run just a little thin, don't they? And we all know those days. They're the unavoidable realities of life. And the Apostle Paul, surely the Apostle Paul knew about a lousy day, didn't he? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, not what we read this morning, but if you keep reading through the book, Paul in chapter 11 lists all of his misfortunes. Not good days. Throughout Paul's missionary journeys, Paul was shipwrecked. Not once, three times. He was adrift on the sea for a day and a night. He was beaten, he was stoned, he was imprisoned three times. Three is a big number in Paul's life. He was hungry, he was thirsty, he was cold, and he was naked. Does not fit that picture of faith, does it? In some circumstances, the idea of blessing surely must have seemed distant from Paul. And to others as well. Indeed, that's the purpose behind that reading that Darlene read for us this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. At the heart of that reading that we hear is Paul's attempt to address this very concern. Because you see, there were people within the Corinthian church who argued that surely Paul really wasn't a very good man of faith. Just look at his life. Shipwrecked. Three times. Imprisoned. Three times. Stoned and beaten. Hungry and cold. It's hard to find blessing in and amongst the stories of all of those things that happened to Paul. It's not the sort of stuff that you put on the recruiting poster. Come and be a disciple for Jesus, and you will be beaten and stoned, imprisoned, shipwrecked. No, no, you're not going to get many applicants for that. Paul opens his argument against these people who have challenged whether or not he is indeed a man of faith because of his misfortunes. And Paul says, if I find my verse here, for we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, who has shone our hearts to give the light of the, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul begins by asserting that we do not worship the messenger. We worship the message and the one to whom it points. Our rejoicing is not in our own lives, but in the incomparable goodness and majesty of God. I love that sentence in that little passage. For it is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and of the face of Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to say that indeed the wonder of God and God's compassion for us is in our lives, and it is what defines our faith. But we have this treasure as in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. And because of that extraordinary power of God, we are enabled to endure all those things that mark our lives. We're able to endure all of those days when it's all just seems a little too hard. And we just want to pull the covers back over our heads and pretend that this day doesn't exist and maybe tomorrow's going to be better. It is when we are weak that all of a sudden God's power is on full display. Paul goes on and he says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies." Paul reminds those who would seek to say, well, clearly Paul's not very lucky. Surely he isn't a follower of Jesus. Paul's response is to say, well, look then at the life of Jesus, whose body was marked, whose life was given freely, that we might live through his suffering. I know there are several folks within our own congregation who can testify to the amazing power of God to lift us out of difficult times and to see us through things. Several have gone through just those sorts of things in the past 4 or 5 years. It's been a long 4 or 5 years, but we're still here. God is indeed good. And it is the goodness of God upon which we build our faith. God is our light in the darkness, our strength in weakness, our hope in despair. And in that light and strength and hope, we bear witness to the one who has raised Jesus Christ to the dead and who will surely also raise us. And if that is the end of the story, and we know that that is the end of the story, then what else is there to fear? This is our hope. And it's because of that hope, then, that we can proclaim the good news of God's love with our own lives. We can reach out to others. We can share with them the love of God and support the mission of the church, not because we have much, not because of prosperity, but because we know what a difference a little bit can make. That little bit of light, that little bit of strength, that little bit of hope that helps us overcome. As we come to the end of our stewardship focus for the fall, and congregations always cheer out loud when that happens, as we come to the end of the stewardship focus for the fall, I want to tell you the story of one person. I want to tell you the story of Jean. Jean was a woman of great faith. She didn't talk about her faith all the time. She wasn't one of those people that quotes the Bible or talks about Jesus all the time. But you knew it. She always had that smile on her face. She always had a kind word when you met her. And for the entire time that I knew Jean, and I think for many years before that, Jean had been widowed. But Jean was sustained by her love of God and her love of her church. And every year at session time, at session in the fall, as we were discussing the stewardship campaign or the budget, maybe in a couple of months later, someone would invariably say, well, what are we going to do? Are we going to ask Jean to give more money? And that was supposed to be the brakes to the system. They looked at Jean, you know, and they saw in Jean the poor widow with the two copper coins from the gospel story that Jesus tells the disciples. But I knew something that they did not. Jean was one of our better givers in the congregation. She was a wonderful and generous and open person. But she gave it quietly, as the Bible says, in secret, lest it be a cause for boasting. While everyone else saw in Jean the story of the widow's mite, I knew that the story that was really being played out in Jean's life was that gospel reading we read this morning from Matthew chapter 6. Do not store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Treasures on earth. I want to get to the heaven part. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where the moth and the rust will consume and where thieves will break in and steal. But rather, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Part of our Christian calling is to examine our lives and to see how God is blessing us through Jesus Christ and how we can take those blessings that we have and use them so that we can share the faith with other people. How and to whom can we bear witness to Jesus Christ? How can we give glory to one who gave his all for us? Those are the questions that lie underneath all of those talks that we ever have in this building around budget time or the annual meeting or the stewardship preaching series that the minister does every fall. At the end of it, it is about making Jesus known. Not with what we don't have. If you win $649 tomorrow, I don't want it. Because you hear people say that, right? Oh, if I only won the lottery, I'd give it all to my favorite charity. I'd give it all to the church. That's not what God requires of us. God doesn't want millions. God only wants us to be faithful with those things with which God has blessed us. Knowing full well that when we are faithful, God will see us through, and that we can always trust in God. So we have, I love the image, we have this life in clay pots, fragile, not 100% certain. If it gets knocked, or the shelf gets knocked, it'll wobble a little bit. If it falls on the floor, it may get cracked. But it is what we have been given to give testimony to our Lord. And therefore, in everything we do, our task as Christians is to take this life that we have been given, this treasure in clay pots, and handle it with care, because for the world, it may be the most precious gift of all. Thanks be to God for his blessings to us. I invite you to join me in the affirmation of faith for this morning. This morning's affirmation faith comes to us from our sister denomination in the U.S., the Presbyterian Church USA. In 1967, they produced an updated statement of faith, and from it we take today's affirmation. God holds this world with fierce love. Keeping his promise, he sends Jesus into the world, pours out the Holy Spirit and announces the good news. Sinners who repent and believe in Jesus live anew as members of the family of God, the first fruits of a new creation. We rejoice in the goodness of God, renounce the works of darkness, and dedicate ourselves to holy living. As covenant partners set free for joyful obedience, we offer our hearts and lives to do God's work in the world. With tempered impatience, eager to see injustice ended, we expect the day of the Lord. We are confident that the light which shines in the presence of darkness will fill the earth when Christ appears. Come, Lord Jesus, our world belongs to you. Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for humankind. The gifts of God are meant for human life and human flourishing. Therefore, let us offer the gifts of our lives to the Lord, the giver of all life, as we present our tithes and offerings." Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, for every blessing that you provide, for life and health, community and freedom, and above all, the treasure of life in Christ. By your Spirit, empower us to extend these blessings to others for the sake of the gospel. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, maker of heaven and earth, we call out to you from the midst of this world's brokenness. Hear our prayers and strengthen us, we pray. We pray this day for the church. Set her free from worldly passions and give us the passion for heavenly things, to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and to serve others for Jesus' sake. We pray for the world in which we live. May the earth have Sabbath rest. May there be an end to all war and oppression, destruction and pollution, corruption and greed. And we pray for the community in which we live. Give rest to all who labor, and provide work for those who are unemployed, so that all may have an equal share of the fullness of the life you offer. We pray for our loved ones. Give healing to those who are afflicted, wisdom to those who are perplexed, peace to those who are persecuted, and new life to those who are struck down. Restore us, O Lord, giver of life. Make us whole so that the life and light of Jesus Christ may be made visible in us, and that the world may see your glory. Until then, keep us constant in prayer as Jesus taught his disciples, as we pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning's closing praise is number 626 in the Book of Praise, Lord of All Power, hymn number 626. Now let us go forth from this place, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.